life's greatest questions have always been, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? You are about to see and hear one of the most significant messages given to us from God.
My name is Gary Cantrell, and I am your host here for The Shoot, which is live right now. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. I know that I am. The weather here in Washington is about all I could ask for. So, a nice day, and yeah. So, it's been a very interesting week, and I promise myself I'm not going to delve into all of it. Certainly those who are interested can go back into the archives of the show at theshootonline.com. You can go back through the tweets. We're not going to dive into it, but it's been a crazy week, and I'm just happy to report to all the listeners of the show that all is well again in the shoot land. Everything is great. Nobody's mad at each other. Everybody's happy. I know I'm happy. And basically, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, like I said, seek the archives and you can find out everything there that you need to find out. And in this crazy week, we've made a brand new friend. That's right. We here at The Shoot have made a brand new friend in RadioFubar.com. And I want to thank them wholeheartedly for welcoming us to their network. And a special thanks to Holly from the show It's All About Me, who suggested this site to me. I was well aware that they brought their show to this website, and I didn't get a chance in all the madness last week to, you know, just congratulate her. And I hope I'm saying this right. Rorschach, is that how you pronounce the guy's name? The two of them do a terrific show over there with their program, and you can hear that every Saturday at noon on RadioFubar.com. And they do a great show. They interview their friends on Twitter. And it's an interesting thing because, you know, we here in The Shoot, we interview, you know, wrestlers, comedians, TV personalities, and they're interesting and all that. But, you know, with Holly and what they do, they're actually interviewing people from Twitter. And I find that these people are actually very interesting. Like Jay from Huntington, who was on the show a week or two ago, he was really interesting. And Kelly is Kelly, who was on the show last week, she's very interesting. And I think they just do a terrific, terrific show. So to bring it all around full circle, I want to thank her. I want to thank everybody at RadioFubar.com for welcoming the show, you know, to the network. And we're happy to be here. And this is just another way to make this show available to everybody. You know, when I brought the show back in January, I said to myself that what I needed to do was I needed to make sure that this show was everywhere. Because, you know, years ago when we did this show from 2007 to 2010, we were on this blog talk radio. You used telephones and a computer to call in. The audio quality was horrendous. But what I liked about it was, you know, there were people who would just stumble across the page and find your show. And it's a little bit different now when you're not on a big network like that, because then, you know, surprise, surprise, you actually have to do the work yourself to bring people to your show. So we, you know, I've done that to the best of my ability, and it's not over with yet. You know, it's far from over. I am fully recognizing the fact that this show in the last 12 or 13 episodes since we've been back has been still in a rebuilding phase. I can bring the biggest guests on that I want, but it doesn't really matter because if I don't put in the work, if I don't work hard, if I don't promote the show myself, it's not going to get anywhere. So I continue to push forward and make this as available as possible. Stitchers, iTunes, Podomatic, YouTube. We put clips up on YouTube. We're everywhere. And this week, in light of the things that happened earlier in the week, I actually started up again my own station, which is WTSR. And this is just something on the sidelines. What I like to do here is, I know people, when we ended the show the last time, they're like, you know, can we still get all the old shows? Are we still going to be able to hear all the old shows? So what I wanted to do is make everybody aware that there is a home for these old shows. All these shows are now up on this other station, this theshootlive.com. We've got a streaming 24/7 playing old shows, and it's up there right now, all 180 some odd episodes. So that includes the old ones and then the new ones. And then what we do is, after we do the show like today, it'll be uploaded to our Podomatic site so people can grab it there. But also, for those who like that radio station feel, and I want to thank Tom Likas for this idea. We had him on the show probably 2 months ago. And Tom, you know, he mentioned that people like this idea of a radio station, a 24 hours, they can just cut it on and it's there. And I like that. And so I looked into it and I got it all figured out. And I started theshootlive.com to give a place for all these old shows so people can access them. I don't know why you'd want to hear them. The quality on them is horrendous, and I'm not going to pretend like it sounds good, but since people ask, I want to make sure that I do my best to deliver. So theshootlive.com is where you can find all that stuff. It's got all 180 some odd episodes, so you can seek that out there if you wish, and it runs, you know, all day, all night. And it's just another way. I wanted to make sure that you guys had 10 different ways to listen to the show, and you have almost that. There's plenty of opportunity to get the show and get it out there. And let's not forget that you, the listeners out there, the Twitter people, the Facebook people, all of you people are what, you know, keep me going. So, you know, if you guys can spread the word in any way, I appreciate it. And I, you know, any help I can get on this thing, I appreciate it, because I know that I'm working as hard as I can to get this out there to more people. I mean, what a lot of people don't realize when they hear this show is, you know, you hear a lot of internet radio shows and a lot of people have at least two or three people on the show. That's kind of standard nowadays. I do this thing solo. I fly solo. I put in all the work by myself. I work a full-time job. Then I come home and I do the radio show. I prepare for the radio show. I interview people. It's all a one-man show. So, you know, for the people, all I ask of anybody, I don't ask for donations or any of that stuff. You know, the only thing I ask is if you enjoy what you hear, just tell people about it, tweet about it, put out the links. And I saw a lot of that last week. Jake the Snake Roberts, we had him on the program. And then we also had TNA's Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, a very wrestling heavy show last week. And what you guys did was you were putting out the links of the Twitter. Everybody was getting the interview out there, and a lot of people were exposed to this. And I want to thank you guys for that, because I know, you know, when you're on Sundays, it's not always easy to tune in. It's a different time slot, but it just happens to be when I'm available to do the show. And this is the, you know, pretty much the best I can do with it. So with all that stuff out of the way, thank you for your support. Thank you for listening, and keep on listening. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. So with all that out of the way, I want to give everybody an update on the DDP yoga. This is something, you know, for the new listeners over at RadioFubar.com, you guys may or may not know that I've been on this whole quest with DDP yoga. We had DDP on the show back in the end of March, I want to say, and he really inspired me to, you know, to want to do this thing. And so Heather got the program. She had it sent to the house. We started doing it together, and in almost 4 weeks, it'll be 4 weeks tomorrow, but as of today, I am 35 pounds down. So in 4 weeks, I have lost 35 pounds, which is just incredible. I mean, who knew that a yoga program, of all things, a yoga program would make this possible? You know, I thought, you know, you got to go to the gym, you got to run, you got to lift weights, you got to do all that stuff. Diamond Dallas Page told me this. He said, you don't have to do all that stuff. I can't do his voice. I'm not going to try. But he's like, you don't have to do all that stuff. You just do my program. You check it out. So that's what we did. We got on the program. We're working hard with this program, and we're seeing results. I had got a tweet earlier from let's see, where is it here? Heel Punchy was telling me that he was doing the program and that he was down like some odd 15 pounds or something within 2 weeks or something like that. So congrats to him. You know, people are finding out about this stuff, this DDP yoga. My buddy's over at the Hater Nation radio show, MC Hater. He's doing the program now. I told him all about it. He's on it. I talked to Holly. She wants to get on it. People are finding out about this program because it's doing amazing things. And that's why I use a portion of this radio show to talk about the DDP yoga. I will go on YouTube, and I've been slacking on the YouTube. I promise I'll do another update on that. And people have been finding out about this. I showed them the video of Arthur. We had Jake the Snake on for 40 minutes last week, and he was talking about the benefits of it. And I mean, I look at this program and I say, holy crap, man, this thing is doing wonders for people. You know, look at Arthur, a guy who could barely walk, okay? This guy could barely walk. Now he's not only walking, he's running. He's doing classes to teach people how to do this program. I mean, how amazing is that, right? How amazing is that? It's incredible to see what this program is doing. And believe it or not, we are actually going to have DDP back on the show here probably in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to get that set up. I want to do a follow-up with him, you know, over a month later and get his thoughts on my progress and see what he thinks. Now, if you're new to the DDP yoga program, for people that are listening, because I know people have reached out and said, look, man, I'm trying the program. Thanks for, you know, spreading the word, or they've seen it in other places. And then they say, oh yeah, I see you're doing it, and I heard about it here. If you have not done this, here's the other thing you want to do. You want to go to teamddpyoga.com. Sign up there. There's a lot of great people over there. And when you sign up, you're going to notice you're going to start getting bombarded with people messaging you, welcoming you to the site, wishing you luck. There's a lot of good people over there who are just trying to do everything they can to help. So yeah, check it out. Get the program, go on YouTube, look at some videos, see how other people are doing it, and, you know, make your own conclusion about it. But I'm living proof that, you know, things can happen with this DDP yoga. So it's terrific. So we'll get that whole unpaid infomercial out of the way. But, you know, it's funny. I know it comes across like that. But for me personally, I feel that, you know, it's my duty to give back to that program. You know, I'm seeing good results, and I just want to spread the word in any way I can and let people know what DDP yoga is all about. Now, look here, we're already 12 minutes into the program, almost 13 minutes in, and I haven't even told you. This is how shot out of a cannon I've been today. I haven't even told you what we have coming up later. So at 4:30, we have Bob Hardcore Holly, who's going to be on the show today, 4:30. We talked to him earlier in the week, and I'm amazed at how nice the guy was. Everybody talks about how Bob Holly was a bully and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously none of us were backstage, you know, 10 years ago when he was there. So we couldn't really speak to that, you know, personally, but just in my interactions with him, just talking with him, he seems like such a nice guy. And I think we took a different approach with this interview. And I want to kind of set this in place now, so you guys know, you know, once you come back from the interview, what you can take from it. Because I listened to a lot of other Bob Holly interviews because he just had a new book that came out, The Hardcore Truth, Story of Bob Holly, and all these wrestling podcasts, these guys are asking him the same stuff over and over again. You know, the Matt Capitelli incident, and they're talking about, you know, all kinds of other stuff that you can get that anywhere else. So what I said was, we're going to take a different approach with this, and I want to, you know, kind of really get to know Bob Holly and talk about life on the road and try to take just a different approach with it. And I'm really happy with it. And I want to hear people's feedback after they hear the interview, what they think about it, because I really think that it turned out very well. And I think Bob comes across as a great guy. I mean, I can only speak to my experience. I can't speak to what other people say. And for those of you that are listening that have been following the show since like 2007, I know there's a few of you guys left who have been sticking with me this long, all the changes we've been through. When we had Heidenreich on, if you remember, and I mean, we must have done 80,000 downloads 5 years ago for this John Heidenreich interview, because he was so, well, I mean, I don't know if he was honest, but he had no filter. You know, he came out on the show and said everything and anything he wanted to say, and he got his point across. And when we had him on the show, people went nuts for this thing because of how, you know, how much he was out there, how much he just put it all out there and didn't really use a filter. So we interviewed him, and what I thought was cool was we actually inserted the audio of the Heidenreich interview into the interview with Bob to put a little context in it, because I had read off Bob the quotes, and I'm like, you know, I can read off these quotes, but, you know, people may not believe that that he said what I'm saying he said. So I figured we're going to put the audio right in there. So you guys will notice that, and I wanted to really tie it up with a bow for all you people that have been listening for so long and remember that interview. I wanted to tie it all together because, obviously, 7 years ago, we didn't have access to Bob Holly because he was in WWE. There's no access to a guy like that when you do internet radio. I mean, we have access to TNA wrestlers because they're nice and they get it, but, you know, WWE, they don't really do, you know, internet stuff. So, especially at that time. So we didn't have access to Holly, but it's one of these things where I felt it was important to put it in there, so it all the context ties in, you know, very well. So look forward to that. That's going to be coming up here in about 15 minutes. We're going to get right to that, and I don't want to keep you guys waiting on that because it's a really good one. And then some other things that we'll get into later in the show after the interview. I want to talk about Rampage Jackson and TNA. That was the big news last week. And we're not even a full-blown wrestling show, but I still like to go back to that wrestling stuff once in a while and talk about it. So we're going to talk about Rampage Jackson and TNA with, it looks like they're going to go for Rampage Jackson and Kurt Angle, probably for Bound for Glory. So we look forward to that. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit of Slammiversary later on. And all that good stuff. And of course, we'll take your phone calls. I didn't even promote that. I'm so excited about today. I didn't even get to the phone number. 202-738-1978. So you can get a hold of us there and talk to us on the phone. And then what else did I wanted to talk about? So tomorrow, Apple is announcing the new iOS 7. Now, I don't know how many listeners that we have here are iPhone or iPad, or just basically iDevice people. For me, I got into the ecosystem back in November. I was getting tired of my Android. I was tired of having to root it every other week and try to make it run faster because it just kept lagging. So I switched to the iPhone. Then I sold my Galaxy Nexus and got an iPad mini. Then I went and got two Apple TVs. So I'm fully invested in the Apple ecosystem. Now, tomorrow, they are announcing the new iOS 7 at the WWDC, the Developers Conference, the Worldwide Developers Conference. I guess that's what it stands for. And one of the big things that everybody's talking about is this fact that they're setting up this iRadio thing, which basically is their answer to Pandora. Now, here's the thing. I know a lot of people use Pandora. I get it. A lot of people, they want to cut on their app and just have Pandora pick all the songs and play all the songs. I understand that. But for me, personally, I'm a Spotify guy, okay? I'm into Spotify. I like this idea that I can pay you $10 a month and then you give me every song in existence. And I can stream it as much as I want. I can market for offline downloads. I can do whatever the hell I want with it. And I like that. So now we don't know the full details yet of iRadio. All the tech blogs, like I'm looking here at an article from TheVerge.com. It's one of the sites I read. And they're saying that it's going to be pretty much like Pandora from everything they've heard. And late last week, they had reached deal with Sony Records or Sony Music or what have you. And that was the final of the big three record companies. I think it's Universal and I think Warner Brothers. I think those are the big three record companies that they have signed up with to get this deal sealed so they can go and announce on Monday about iRadio. And then I guess it's probably going to launch probably with iOS 7, I'd guess. Because they don't announce something and then it's just available. That's the one thing I'll give Google credit for. When Google has their I.O. thing, they'll say, okay, here's Google Play All Access. And then, oh, by the way, it's available right now. or here's the new Google Maps, and then tomorrow, it's available tomorrow. Put in your email. We're going to get you set up for tomorrow. I like how Google puts it out there. Now, some might say, okay, well, we don't want to rush this thing. So, you know, we're gonna lock it up for a few months and have people test it and make sure it's good before we release it to the public. I understand that. But for me personally, I like to have my hands on it. And I know they give it to the developers sooner than later, but for me, I mean, I think there should be a program for guys like me who, you know, I'm not a developer, but I'm very tech savvy and I enjoy technology. One of the things that you'll see on my Twitter at Gary Cantrell in my bio is I'm a big fan of wrestling and a big fan of gadgets. I love gadgets. I like to tinker with them. I like to try different things. So for me, if they had like a site where I could sign up and say, yeah, I'll try it. I'll be your beta tester. Let me try it and I'll send you some results. I would like that. Maybe there's something in place like that, but I don't think there is. So I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do. I just think that maybe the whole iRadio thing probably isn't the wise idea. For me, I think it should be, you know, it should be more like Spotify. That's just me. Here's the iTunes library. Now you can save it. Now, of course, the argument to that will be, well, then nobody's going to buy CDs. I get that too. But like we do with here at the radio show, I think everybody should have a choice. I think everybody should have a choice as to what they want to do. Personally, give me the choice. Let me buy the albums, because there's going to be a lot of people who are still going to buy it traditionally. That's my opinion. I feel there's a lot of people who are like, well, you know, I just want to buy my stuff on iTunes. Okay, go ahead. That's good. So that's fine. You'll do that. But then there's guys like me who like to have everything for a flat fee. There should be someone catering to us as well, I think. And I probably just sound like a techie nerd idiot, but that's just what I think. Now, iRadio aside, because it's not confirmed, but it's probably a 95% chance that this thing is going to launch tomorrow, or it's going to be announced tomorrow, I should say. Then there's iOS 7. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, supposedly it's supposed to have some sort of a flat design, I guess. That's what all these tech blogs are reporting, that it's going to have some sort of a flat, simplistic design. I always thought that the design they have right now is pretty damn simplistic. I don't really think that you can get any more simplistic than what it is right now. I mean, you've got your icons. You click on the icon, it opens the app. You got your menus. Everything seems pretty straightforward. That's another reason why I came to the iPhone, was that I thought everything was pretty straightforward. I think it's pretty easy. But apparently, they have this new, quote, modern flat design. I don't know what that means, but I'm intrigued. But here's the thing I don't want them to do. I don't want them to go out and change it drastically just to appease all of, let's say, like the Android people who are bitching at Apple. Oh, your stuff is too, you know, it's always the same. It never changes, blah, 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 blah. I hope it's nothing like, I hope they don't make like this radical change. I'm hoping that Apple is smart enough to figure out the next best way to do their operating system. Hopefully. That's what I'm hoping. But I'm, you know, fingers crossed. So they're going to announce that tomorrow. That's probably not going to be available until the iPhone 5S or 6 launches. Everybody says it's going to be the 6, which kind of upsets me because I just got the 5, and I kind of like this S thing that they do because I can get on at the 5, and then next year, if they continue with the schedule they're going now, then the 6 will be out, and then this year they would release the S. And then I have a buddy of mine, Angry Dave, who was on the show a few weeks back. He's more the S guy. He gets the 3GS, then the 4S. And then if there was a 5S, he'd get that. But it sounds like now they're going to try to make this big leap into the, you know, to the next phone period. So probably it would probably be 6, which will stink, because then what are they going to do next year? I mean, are they going to go back to the S, or is it going to be 7? That's what I'm curious. So tomorrow's the big day for Apple, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. Everybody always watches what Apple does and what they say. And I know that I will be no exception to that. I'm going to be watching extremely close to see exactly what Apple has in mind. Now, also, one of the things I've not bought into is the MacBooks and stuff like that. That stuff is way out of my price range. I wish, because they have a lot of cool video editing stuff, and especially with us doing a lot of YouTube stuff, I would love to have some sort of a Mac but it's just way out of my price range. I've got plenty of PCs around. If they can figure out, you know, how to make them better, that would be terrific. So tomorrow they're going to announce all this stuff. It's going to be OS X 7 or 10.9, then iOS 7 tomorrow. And then they're saying the iRadio, they'll probably do a MacBook and or Mac refresh where they're going to, you know, issue the new hardware. They're going to probably put that out right away. And then the iPhone will be out this fall. And then The Verge is suggesting maybe some Apple TV update or perhaps an iWatch, you know, the wearable device. So a lot of interesting things that could come up tomorrow. And I love the Apple TV the way it is right now. I've bought into that fully because I'm like getting rid of my Blu-rays and my DVDs. I'm like, I don't need this stuff anymore. I've got, you know, I can buy it digitally on Apple and it's all in the cloud. I don't have to store a bunch of discs around. I like the idea of just streaming it. I've got a fast internet connection, so it works beautifully. It's 1080p. It looks fine for my needs. And then I've also found this really cool thing of people that sell digital codes online. And I've bought a bunch of those and I've gotten a bunch of movies for really cheap. So it works out really well. So anyway, that is WWDC tomorrow. Apple announcing the new iOS 7 and the new Mac OS and probably a couple of new MacBooks or something. So with that out of the way, let's go ahead. Let's pause. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with the one and only hardcore Bob Holly. You are listening to The Shoot. Back in a moment.
What's left? But did you?
catch The Shoot live on theshootonline.com. And joining us on the phone right now, he is the brand new author of The Hardcore Truth, The Bob Holly Story. We have Hardcore Bob Holly with us on the phone. Bob, welcome to The Shoot.
Hey, Gary. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. And first of all, congratulations on the book. It's available on Amazon, iTunes. It's available in bookstores. It's available through ECW Press. And Bob, I got the book a few days ago. I've just started it. So far, I'm already into it. I'm enjoying it. And the first question I want to ask you is, at what point do you say, man, I really want to put a book out?
You know, it's funny, Gary, because I really didn't think about, you know, putting out a book until I just got to talking about it, you know, telling stories of, you know, just like road stories and this and that and such, you know, throughout my career, because you always reflect back, you know, and so, you know, the idea was brought up about writing a book, and I'm like, I ain't writing a book. Nobody's going to want to read what Bob Holly has to say, you know,
because,
you know, I was just a hit card guy. So it's like, who's interested in what I had to do or what I have to say?
Right.
You know, and so more and more talked about it. I thought, you know what, you know, let me see what I can do. You know, let me get in touch with ECW Press because they're into writing wrestling books or publishing wrestling books. So I called them. And they just pretty much said, well, you know, if you can find a writer to help you write the book, that would be the best thing. And, you know, so that kind of put it on the back burner because I really didn't know anybody who was that creative that could write.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and put my words on paper to make it sound like I'm talking to you, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's tough, too, you know, and so... I talked to a friend of mine over in England, Ross Williams, who co-wrote the book for me.
Right.
And he's the genius behind the book, to be perfectly honest with you. And so he said, why don't you let me have a shot at it? And so I called Michael Holmes at ECW Press, and he said, well, have him send us a sample of what he can write.
Right.
And so the first few pages in the book, Gary, are the sample of what he had written to ECW Press.
Oh,
and
wow.
And as soon as they... Yeah, and so as soon as they read that, they were captivated by it.
Uh-huh.
And so Michael Holmes called me back and said, hey, we're going to move forward with this project. You know, let's do it. So they, mailed contracts to us and everything. And so, you know, Ross Williams has done an unbelievable job because Ross Williams is in the wrestling business. He knows about wrestling.
Right.
And he knows what a reader wants as far as what to look for in a book, you know, because he's read all the wrestling books, you know, and he watches wrestling. He's just a diehard wrestling fan. Plus, he has wrestled himself. So it was easier for him to write this book because he understands where I'm coming from and he understands each situation that, you know, as I explain it. So that way he can make it to where people understand it a lot better.
Right.
You know, because if I just had some writer that wasn't into wrestling or didn't know about it, believe me, this book wouldn't be as good as it is.
Yeah.
And you know, Ross gets all the credit. I mean, he's the brain trust behind it because he did such a great job. And something else about Ross, you know, he's a playwriter. He does screenplays. He writes movies and shows and stuff like that. Also, so this guy has got a very creative mind. And he is looking to become a writer for either TNA or WWE, and he's in the process of trying to, you know, move forward with that. But
oh,
I think, you know, because some of the stuff that he has told me, Gary, some of the storylines that he's just thrown at me,
right,
you know, just off the cuff, and I mean, they're unbelievable, and they make sense, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
And I think TNA or WWE could, you know, benefit from a guy like Ross, you know, so, you know, and that's his goal too. Plus he'd like to also write books for other talent too, you know, so that's always out there, but he's the one who gets most of the credit.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you, and I mean, to be fair to you as well, though, you've got the story. I mean, you were in the business for what, a good 20, 25 years. Am I about in the neighborhood?
Yeah, pretty close. It was about 23, 24, somewhere around there. Yeah.
I
actually started in 86.
Wow.
In Pensacola, Florida. So that's where I actually, at first time ever getting in a ring, you know, when I was training. So, yeah, I've been around for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, though, Bob. I mean, we all get these books, we read these books, but nobody really knows what goes into them. You know, I mean, for somebody that's had a long career like yourself, and I mean, you're telling your whole life story here. I mean, how long does it take from start to finish? Okay, all right, you can do a book, and then you start, and then now you're finished. How long? What is that timetable like?
Oh gosh, it took us at least a good 18 months.
Wow.
And mind you, Ross is from England too.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a hurdle in itself. And so we were pretty much Skyping 3 or 4 days a week.
Right.
And, you know, for hours on end. And, you know, once we get, you know, the rough draft, you know, and then, you know, Ross writes it, sends it to me, you know, and then I have to edit it and make sure that it's my words and not his. You know, and a couple times, he got off the track a little. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, he was dead on. And, you know, so the editing, I think I read that book. My wife and I read the book at least five or six times to edit it, you know. So, and it's funny because each time I read the book, it was still interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I told my wife, I'm like, you know what? I think people are going to like this because every time we read it, it's, you know, it's interesting to me. So, you know, and that was my hope. And you know, hopefully I'm still, everybody still feels the same way because I've been fortunate, you know, and very thankful to every wrestling fan out there who has read my book.
Yeah.
And I appreciate their kind words that they've had to say about it because, you know, all the reviews and everything everybody said has been, you know, very, very, very nice and very good, you know, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I can see right now Amazon's got it at 5 stars. I mean, that's incredible. And just to share, you know, my own personal thing with this book, you know, I started this book, like I said, a few days ago. And one of the first things I instantly connected with you because you talked about, you know, your life growing up, your childhood, your dad not being around. I can certainly identify with that. And I'm like, my God, I'm already connecting with this guy. I mean, that's the kind of deep stuff that you can find in this book. I mean, it's terrific. You know what I mean? We all kind of go through our problems in life. And I, like my dad, for instance, he was in the Navy. He was never around. And when he was with other women and I never saw the guy.
Right.
And it was tough, you know, but when I started to read your story, I'm like, man, I can identify with this to a certain degree.
Yeah, and a lot of kids have grown up without their dad, so you know,
yeah.
and you know, like yourself, a lot of people can relate to that, you know. So, you know, in which you know, because that's what you want people to be able to relate to your situation,
right?
Because the more they can relate to your situation, the better they understand and they're, you know, actually, you know, pulling for you to, you know, to survive and to, you know, overcome. So, you know, it's always good when you can, the fan can relate, you know, because that's what they want to do. They want to be able to relate to what you do and what you do outside the ring and anything you do in life. You know, they want to be able to relate to that. And it's always a good thing if they can, you know, because we're human just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that makes us different is we're on TV and that's it. You know, we're no different from anybody else.
Well, yeah.
You know, we're just on TV and that's it. You know, so we're all just, you know, everybody's the same.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, when you go into that, like when you read a book like this, you're like, okay, here's a guy, he was on TV for several years, you know, well known, you know, how the hell do I expect to connect with this guy? And then, you know, you get a story like this, and then instantly you're connected, you understand, you certainly have a relation point where you can identify with the person that you're reading about, and then they become kind of human to you, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and see, the thing is, too, what a lot of people don't know about me until they read my book is, you know, I'm a welder by trade, and I've worked regular jobs, and I've worked hard, you know,
and I did
what I had to do, and I've sacrificed to make ends meet, you know, so I've been there where a lot of people are now, you know, and those people, I appreciate those people because I know what they're going through, you know, same thing I did, and so... You know, you just can't, I didn't give up. I mean, I worked my ass off and, you know, and on very little sleep, working a regular job, trying to make it in wrestling, you know, traveling up and down the roads and such. So, you know, and people can relate to that, you know, because like I said, you know, I'm a welder by trade. I know what it's like to work, you know, work a regular job as to where a lot of your superstars that are out there, you know, your big names have never had a regular job. You know, they've always, you know, that's all they've done is wrestled all their life. So,
that's got to be tough too. I mean, when you're one of those guys who gets propelled to that highest, you know, level that you can be, I mean, that's got to be tough to identify with somebody like yourself or even like, let's say, regular people, because you're suddenly thrust into this huge position and you're seemingly on top of the world. And I can imagine that's got to be a tough adjustment for some people.
You know, it was, you know, the adjustment for me was getting used to actually the bigger crowds and the traveling. That was the biggest thing for me. You know, I remained level-headed through the whole time. I never, ever thought I was bigger than anybody. I never thought that I was this big star or anything. Because honestly, Gary, when people would come up to me, I would honestly wonder, why did they want my autograph? Because I'm not anybody special, you know? I'm just Bob, you know, and I've always wondered that, you know, and it's just like, well, I'm on TV and that's got to be the only reason, but I'm nothing special, you know, I'm no different than them. So it's like, why do they want my autograph? You know, and I still feel that way. It's like, I'm not a big deal. I've never, ever thought myself as a big deal. I just went out there, did what I was supposed to do. And, you know, and I was fortunate enough to be on TV and, you know, once I went back behind that curtain, I was back to, you know, just being a regular person again, you know?
Sure.
So, hopefully people can relate to that too, you know, as far as that, but you know, it's a completely different world. And there's no real way to prepare yourself for that, you know, the big time. And so It took a lot of getting adjusted to, of course, at first, but, you know, it's just something, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I just, you know, put my mind to it and just basically made the best of it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you mentioned being on the road, and, you know, we've always heard wrestlers talk out about, you know, schedules and being out on the road, and, you know, were you married at the time that you were, you know, with the WWE, you know, early on, or how long have you been married?
I was married a couple times, and let me tell you something. That is one of the most difficult things to, you know, manage.
Yeah.
Because you're gone all the time, and when you get home, you've only got a couple days, and it's a recipe for disaster, you know, and that's pretty much what ends up happening, you know. So,
yeah.
And it's just, you know, people think that they're ready for that and they're not, you know, and that's why wrestlers make a lot of sacrifices, you know.
Oh yeah.
And it's, you know, and if you're married and you can, and you're on the road, you know, 3 weeks out of the month and your marriage is still strong, you know, more power to you. I'm all for that. And, you know, you've got a very, very, a very good relationship if you can manage that, and which it's really tough. It really is.
Do you think it gets any easier, like, you know, in today when we've got, you know, the technology we have, do you think it's any easier on the guys out on the road right now, in your opinion?
You know, it's funny because it's like back when I first started, you know, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have laptops, you know, there wasn't Twitter or anything like that. And that's when it was at its toughest. But I think it makes it a little bit easier, you know, it eases the process a little bit, but it's still the fact that you're away from home, you know, away from your kids, away from your family. And it's hard no matter what, you know. It's nice having Twitter and having cell phones and being able to Skype and stuff like that, but it's not the same as being at home, you know, because, you know, your family wants you at home, and it's when you're gone, it's not no fun.
Right. How many children do you have, Bob?
I've got one.
Now, how tough is that? I mean, I've got to imagine that's got to be tough, too. I mean, you know, for the child to wonder, you know, where's my dad at? I know he shows up and he's here, but I got to wonder how tough that is. I mean, you know, speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, it was really hard because, you know, back, you know, my daughter, she's grown up. She's 28 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but back when, you know, when I first started in WWE, I was gone 30, 40 days on one tour.
Yeah.
And then I'd come home for 2 or 3 days, and then I'd be back gone again. You know, so, and when you're home, you're so wore out and tired, but it's very important to spend that time, you know, with your kid, you know, and you miss all the good years. You miss, I missed all the years of her, you know, going to school, you know, and doing certain things in high school and grade school and stuff like that. And you miss all that stuff, you know, and yeah. Like when she graduated, I was able to fly home just in time. You know, I landed, got to the graduation ceremony just in time to see her, and then I had to turn around and fly back out. You know,
wow.
And so, you know, when you're with WWE, you're with them. I mean, that is your job,
right.
Number one. I mean, you know, and you know, they say family comes first, but sometimes I question that.
Right, but Bob, how do you stay focused? I mean, like, you're in the ring, you know where you got to be, you know what you're doing. How do you keep your mind off of that for the, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes you're out there? I mean, that's got to be tough.
It's like you can have every problem in the world going on before your music plays. And as soon as your music hits, all you're thinking about is what you got to do in that ring.
Right.
It's amazing. That's kind of like, that's your getaway from it all. Really. That's your escape. That 10, 15, 20 minutes in the ring, that is your escape. You know, that is your stress reliever, believe it or not. And because as soon as the, you know, the 1, 2, 3 and that the bell rings and the match is over and you go backstage, you're thinking about all that stuff all over again, you know, but it's for that moment that's your escape. You know, because you have to be focused on what you do because, number one, the guy you're in the ring with, you know, he's putting his life in your hands. You know, you have to take care. He's got a family to feed, you know, and thankfully, I have never cost anybody a day of work. My whole career in WWE, I never cost one person a single day of work, no matter how rough I was with them.
Right.
I never cost them one night of work, you know, so... But actually, I'm the one that ends up getting hurt myself. You know, I end up hurting myself somehow. But you know, for that moment, your mind is focused on the task at hand, and that's either you know, putting on a good show for the fans.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in case you guys are just tuning in, we're talking with Bob Holly. He's got a brand new book out called The Hardcore Truth: The Bob Holly Story. And Bob, also, you mentioned Twitter earlier. Where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at the Bob Holly.
Okay, very cool.
At the Bob Holly. Yeah, and I haven't been on Twitter very long, maybe 4 or 5 months, 6 months, something like right. that. So, yeah, if you follow me and you say hi to me, ask me a question, whatever, I always answer everybody.
Wow.
You know, I probably have answered at least, I would say, 98% of my followers that have sent something to me. I may not get to it right then and there,
sure.
But I will eventually get to it, and I will answer everybody that tweets me. So, and I make sure of that because that's how I can give back to them and to say thank you for supporting me and stuff like that. You know, and I feel it's very important. You know, because that's why we have Twitter. Because these fans, because I've noticed, you know, all these people, these stars and that are on TV and celebrities and stuff like that,
yeah.
You know, their fans will ask them a question or tweet something to them or whatever, and they just ignore them. I don't know how they can do that. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't, because the fans are who makes us who we are, you know, and it's just, I just don't get it, because I know what it feels like to be ignored, because I've tweeted, you know, people and just get no response whatsoever.
Yeah, it's
and it's
tough.
Like, you know, and it's like, to me, it's like, wow, how, you know, I just don't get it. So that's why I try to answer everybody back, because I know how it feels to be ignored. So, you know,
yeah.
I want to make sure you follow me. I will do my best to answer you. I may, like I said, I may not do it right then and there,
yeah.
But I will get through it, and you will get an answer from me.
Well, that is terrific. You know, and the thing about a lot of celebrities is, I mean, unless they're like somebody with 30 million followers, I mean, somebody like a Justin Bieber or something like that, I mean, all these people read they read their mentions. You know, they see it. You know, any kind of, you know, celebrity are seeing that stuff.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. When you got that many followers or even, you know, 50,000 or a million followers, yeah, that's got to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, you know, so, you know, it's funny, too, because the at the day, you know, the way wrestling is today, you know, because back when I was coming up through wrestling,
right,
it was almost, it's almost like titles aren't earned anymore. You don't pay your dues to get a title. It's almost like they're just given to you. It's, you know, and it's right. It's funny. It's because I watch wrestling. You know, I try to watch some of it. You know, here and there. I don't watch too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I stay busy. You know, and it's like, wow, they just somebody new comes in, they throw the title on them, and it's, you know, and I understand that's to get the guy over.
Yeah,
but you know, to try to get him over because that's who they're pushing. But it's almost like the titles aren't earned anymore. You don't pay your dues. You don't, you know, come onto the scene and here's a new guy and works his way to the top. And it's almost like he's just thrown right in there. And it's like, you know, and it's crazy because people ask me all the time, you know, what are my thoughts on wrestling today? And it's like, you know, I think the PG era has hurt them. The PG-13 or it's PG or whatever it is now.
Yeah, PG.
But back in the Attitude era, it was almost anything goes to an extent, and that's when business was at its best. And I hope that the wrestling can get back to that. You know, and also another thing they need is competition.
Oh yeah,
and that's why I I'd like to see TNA survive and make it. You know, I want them to thrive because competition's good. You know, not only for both companies, but for the boys especially. You know, because when you have competition, the boys make more money. You know,
right.
And that's what it's all about.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had a couple of guys from TNA, Daniels and Kazarian, on the show last week, and I mean they were. You know, you could tell that they're just waiting for this thing to blow. You know, and go into the next level. You know, kick it in the next gear. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take, but we'll see.
Yeah, I love Daniels and Kazarian. Those are two great guys, and they're really good at what they do, too. They are.
Yeah.
They are. I saw them a few months ago, and, you know, I really like those guys. I've known them for a while, and great guys. Definitely great guys.
Very
good talent.
Oh yeah, and they were extremely nice on the phone. Now, Bob, I know we're getting close to the half hour. I've got like one or two more questions here for you. When we started the show, this show has been around since 2007. We took a little bit of a break in 2010, but then we came back. One of the first two guests that we had on this show was Road Warrior Animal, and then a few weeks later we had John Heidenreich. And Road Warrior Animal said. Because he had some problems with Heidenreich. He said, I'll tell you what, ask Bob Holly about John Heidenreich. And at that time, I could tell by your response, hang tight. You know, at that time, you were in WWE. Obviously, an internet show, we're not going to have access to you at that point. So I now have you here 6-7 years later. We had Heidenreich on the show. I asked him, I said, Animal said to ask Bob Holly about you. What do you think he meant by that? And let me tell you, he was not very pleased. And I've actually got some audio clips here of some quotes directly from the horse's mouth I'd like to play for you, if that's okay.
Okay.
Man, Bob's a bitter guy. Bob's angry, you know? Right. I mean, Bob, I don't know him that well. I know on the road that he's a stooge. The reason he's got his job, he goes and tells on all the boys. But the thing is, what people don't realize, everything that Bob goes and tells, he's done himself. Bob is the walker and asks all the boys for pain pills all day long. I know one of the boys gave him like 40-something one time, so he's got his own problems. So for him to go bare to anybody about drugs or whatever, he's done it all. The reason he's there, he's done some real sick shit to get his job there, which we know about. What's that going to throw out? Because I'm sure Bob will say something about me, and I don't care. You know, because Bob knows where I live. If he wants to come find me, I'll take him on in the street. You know, because I'm a man. He ain't. You know, he goes and tells on the boys. You kind of told on me when I was up there telling people I was on crystal meth and ketamine trying to get me fired. Because he's jealous, you know, that's all it is. He's bitter, angry, and jealous. You know, Bob got his neck broken by Brock Lesnar, and this one was, but that wasn't an accident, that he did that intentionally to him. So you know what goes around comes around, because Bob gets up there and beats up people in the ring that he can get away with. He's a bully. I've seen him kick Renee Dupree's face in, because Renee was too scared to fend for himself. He wouldn't do that to me, because in an old-fashioned fucking stand. That's right. He's a bully and a two-faced stooge. That's why he's got his job there, and he knows it. That's why he's angry. He's not a man, okay? And, I mean, I'm real possible about this because I know exactly how he operates. He didn't think I did, but I know. I know the truth about him now that I'm fired. I know what he was doing. I was helping him out, giving him pain pills. He said he broke his neck. So I used to give him something out of prescription. Then I found out he was going behind my back telling the office I had drug problems. That's wrong, man. When you're helping somebody, you don't go tell the office that this guy's got drug problems. That ain't right. When I'm giving him something out of my pocket, and you're going to go tell on me, and I found out he was doing that with all the boys. Telling on him. That's how you keep your job up there. You're either a stooge or you do some sick shit. That's how you stay up at the WWE.
Now, I don't know, you know, everybody's got their own side of the story, and I can tell by your reaction. I want to hear what you got to say about this.
Well, the thing is, he's got to blame somebody for him being fired. He's not going to accept the blame himself.
Right.
I was in WWE for 16 years because I worked my ass off.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but as far as what he's saying, I don't know why he says what he says. I don't know why he brought me into it. I have no idea.
Right.
But he lost his job is because of him, mm-hmm. You know, and the biggest downfall was he was supposed to be at TV at 1 o'clock and he shows up at 7 o'clock. And see, they had big plans for him and Animal.
Right.
You know, they had big plans for him as a tag. And so, and he shows up at 7 o'clock. And he threatened to beat up Johnny, and then he threatened to beat up Vince. Well, you can't do that.
Jesus.
Number one. So, and they ended up, you know, so they ended up getting rid of him. And, you know, so as far as him making all these, making up these stories, stuff like that, it's, you know what, people are going to say what they want to say.
Right.
You know, they don't want to look in the mirror and say, you know, hey, I'm the reason why I lost my job. You know, they don't want to do that. So if he wants to blame me, that's fine. I don't care. It's whatever, you know. But number, you know, I had my job for 16 years because, number one, I worked my ass off. And
right.
I did what I was told to do. So, you know.
Yeah.
And a stooge is not going to last in WWE. Vince does not like stooges.
Uh-huh.
He does not like that. He doesn't put up with that stuff. So, you know. If that's what he wants to say, that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah,
he
went on to say, you know, he had cited some example about, I guess, about how you beat up Rene Dupree really hard in the ring, and then he said, you tell Bob if he meets me in the street and I'll bash his fucking head in, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was, like, really, really upset when I mentioned your name, and I had waited, like, 7 years to ask you that. I know it's a very old story now, but...
He's had the opportunity so many times to bash my head in.
Right.
And that whole incident with me and Rene Dupree, mm-hmm. when that happened, he was nowhere to be found. And he didn't say a word about it when it happened. He didn't say anything. I was right there. That's the thing. It's like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to beat me up. Well, he had plenty of chances to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what he thinks he can do, that's his business. I don't care. You know, but the thing is, like I said, he had plenty of opportunities, but, you know, he didn't take up on those opportunities. And, you know, so because he was there at the time when all that stuff went down. And like I said, he never said a word to me about it. So I guess he just, it's one of them. He's talking tough from a million miles away.
Yeah, I understand. Now, look, Bob, I promised you I'd get you out on time, so I want to say this. First and foremost, everybody, go buy the book, The Hardcore Truth, The Bob Holly Story. It's a great book. I'm already a chapter or two, and I'm looking forward to finishing it. Bob, I hope you'll come back on this show in the future, man. I really had a good time. Let's get some more stories next time around.
Okay, I'd love to, Gary, and thank you so much for having me, man. I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, let's keep in touch, and we'll have you back down the road. Thank you so much for your time, Bob.
Thank you, Gary.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, make sure you follow Bob Holly at TheBobHolly on Twitter. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take one final break, and we'll come back. We'll close out the show, talk a little bit about Rampage Jackson in TNA and a little bit of Slammiversary, and we'll go ahead and end the show. So you're listening to The Shoot Live. We will be right back. And we are back. 202-738-1978 is the number to dial if you want to jump on and talk right now. Pretty much anything that's on your mind. Another plug here, follow me on Twitter at Gary Cantrell if you don't already do so. And if you're listening to us after the fact on the podcast, if you want to mention anything from the show, just use the hashtag #TheShoot. Let's throw that out there. You know, you're talking, you want to talk about the show, let's go about it with that way. And thanks to everybody that's been listening live. Been getting a couple of tweets here, some people that are listening. So I want to thank them for checking us out. And again, thanks to Radio Fubar for adding us to their wonderful lineup. So I promised you guys that we were going to close out the show today talking a little bit about Rampage Jackson and TNA, my thoughts on that, as well as maybe a little bit of Slammiversary as well. Maybe we should actually do Slammiversary just real quick. I can kind of run down this pretty quickly. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on the show. For me, it was fine. I mean, the wrestling action that they provided was good. The women's match, which went nearly 10 minutes. It's very rare that you'll ever hear me on a wrestling show going out of my way to reference the women first. I thought this was one of the better wrestling matches for women that we've seen in a very long time. I thought it was just one of these things where you just don't see this very often. It's not common. You know, TNA's always been better than WWE when it comes to the women, in my opinion. You know, if this was 2004, 2005, when you had people like Trish Stratus and Mickey James and who else? Lita. My God, how could I not forget about Lita? But when you had girls like that in WWE, they were terrific. But right now, if you stack up the women's division in WWE and you stack up the women's division in TNA, I think TNA single-handedly has got them beat in this, because their women actually go out and they have great matches and they're, you know, they can actually work. And, you know, most of them are good looking. I mean, you know, that seems to be WWE's, you know, their whole thing is you know, they got to be hot, but they don't really wrestle very well. It's kind of cheesy what they do, but TNA, they've got the right idea with this. So I definitely wanted to make it a point to shout out the women's division, TNA Slammiversary. They tore the house down on Sunday. I enjoyed it. X Division, Ultimate X, Chris Sabin wins the X Division title. Chris Sabin, man, that guy is unfucking believable. Yes, I know. I should have watched my language, but he is unbelievable, Chris Sabin. It's not like he just got on the scene. He just returned, and he is amazing. I've always been a fan of Chris Sabin, and I hope that this is a sign that they are going to, you know, do something with him going forward. Because I've liked Kenny King as well. I always thought Kenny King was a terrific talent. I didn't really follow a whole lot of ROH, but from what I've heard, he is very, very good. Or he was very good in ROH as well. So, you know, I had to make sure that I mentioned that as well, because Sabin is terrific. Kenny King is as well. Suicide, I don't even know who's under that mask right now. I don't think it was Kazarian or Daniels, because obviously they had their match later. We had them on the show last week. I don't know who was under the mask this particular week, but, you know, the whole match, it went about 15 minutes. It's pretty good. I did enjoy it. There was this six-man match that as far as I know, was just added into the show. I don't think it was already on the card. Magnus, Joe, and Hardy versus Briscoe, Bischoff, and Mr. Anderson of Aces and Eights. You know, decent standard six-man match. Nothing particularly special about it. You know, just a couple of guys thrown in the ring, but it was fine. The gut check, I didn't find a lot of people to be overly excited about the gut check. You had Jay Bradley, and he beat Sam Shaw. The crowd really didn't look like they were a whole lot into it. Then you had Devon defeating Joseph Park by countout, because, you know, they beat up Joseph Park in the back, and then he couldn't show up, and then, well, Abyss came out and defeated Devon and for the TNA Television Championship, and that was a short match. You know, Abyss just basically, you know, beat his ass, and that's what that was. Then you had the four-way elimination tag match. As I said last week, we had Bad Influence, Daniels, and Kaz on the show last week. Thank you again to them, and thanks to TNA for, you know, for making that happen. Bad Influence, unfortunately, was the first team eliminated in this match. They were disqualified because they were caught hitting Chavo Guerrero with the tag team title. So they got disqualified, but it's a heel thing to do. This is definitely not going to be their last, you know, match going for the tag belt. These guys are going to be around. They are a great tag team. I enjoy watching them. Aries and Rude were great in this match. The other two teams, yeah, they were kind of there for me. They didn't blow me away. But what I'd really like to see is some sort of a big feud going on between Bad Influence and Aries and Rude. I think if you get those two in some sort of a long-term thing, that would be, you know, terrific. And then, as I mentioned before, you had the women last knockout standing match. Taryn Terrell defeated Gail Kim. Great match. Then you had AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. These guys went only 15 minutes, but the match felt like it was... Excuse me. Wow, I apologize. Yet AJ Styles and Kurt Angle, this match felt like it was a half an hour long or something like that, but these guys really put on a terrific match. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to what's next for Angle, and we'll get to that in a moment. And then AJ Styles, I don't really know where he goes here. You know, he came back as kind of this this renegade, this lone ranger, and then he loses to Kurt Angle. They were kind of, you know, they kind of would have been like, damn if you, damn if you don't, because they announced that Kurt Angle was going to go into the Hall of Fame, so you don't really want him to lose. But then you've also got AJ Styles, who, you know, has, like I said, he's come back, he's been on this, like, really, you know, mean streak. So they were, I mean, and so many people have bitched at TNA for so many non-finishes they used to do, so, I mean... Props to them for not doing a non-finish, but, I mean, you really, damn if you do, damn if you don't, but it's fine. They put Kurt over, they owned it. It's fine. I don't have a big problem with it. I thought both guys looked great in the match. The match was really good. And then finally, Bully Ray defeats Sting, and Sting lost, so, you know, according to the stipulation, he will never be able to challenge for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship again, and I'm glad that that is so. I've never been a big Sting fan. You know, it's not, no disrespect to him, believe me, no disrespect to Sting, but I wasn't into Sting 15 years ago when he was in WCW. I was always a WWE guy. I was never a WCW guy, and I was certainly never a Sting guy. So when TNA brought him in and they had him win every single match under the sun that you could imagine, I'm just not a Sting guy, but what I will give him credit for is I thought he looked very good in this match. I thought Bully Ray, of course, looked good in this match. The finish, you know, a lot of people criticizing the finish. They didn't like that, you know, he had to hit him with a hammer, but it's no holds barred. You know, heels will do cheat. You know, they will cheat. They will, you know, do bad things to win. So in that aspect, I don't really have a big problem with it. I know a lot of people did. For me personally, I did not, but that's just me. I think Bully Ray plays a prick, and that's what he was being. He's being a prick. He took a hammer out. He smashed Sting with it, and he won the match. You know, win at all costs. That's what I say, you know, assuming that this was a real fight, which obviously it's not, but you know what I mean, or at least I hope you know what I mean. So, all in all, a good show. I ordered it last week on pay-per-view. It was fun. It was. I enjoyed just seeing the action. I believe that this roster, you know, this current roster works very hard. I think they all put on pretty good matches. And, you know, WWE, it seems like when they've got their stories tend to be a little bit better. But the in-ring action, unless you've got a guy like Punk or The Shield, you know, it seems to be a little bit less, leaves a little bit less desired. But for TNA, these guys, they are just incredible with their athleticism. And I really enjoy what they do. And then, so this week, Dixie Carter, or the week before, rather, Dixie Carter had tweeted, hey, we've got a hot free agent signing. Stay tuned. She actually announced that last Thursday, which made me, this was the go-home show to Slammiversary, which was a taped show. It made everybody kind of think maybe they were going to tease who it could be, or maybe even a reveal before the pay-per-view. And a lot of people were wondering, you know, which wrestler is it? A lot of people were like, is it Goldberg? Is it, I don't know, John Morrison? These are just some of the names I saw floating around on Twitter. People were, you know, kind of freaking out. They were wondering who was going to be this mystery person. And one of the things is with TNA being on Spike, and you've got Bellator now on Spike, it seems to me that I guess TNA, I don't know with their deal with Spike, if they have like some authority to pick MMA guys that they want to sign, because they announced, I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, that, hey, Rampage Jackson signed with Bellator. And then, oh, by the way, he signed with TNA? I was like, what? You know, Rampage is one of these guys that I've always liked as a fighter. And I always thought he had one of these characters. And not a whole lot of guys can do this. I think Rampage Jackson is a guy that could do it. I think Chael Sonnen, with his promo skills, is a guy that could make that transfer into pro wrestling. Perhaps Chuck Liddell to a certain degree. You know, there's not so many. Big Country, Roy Nelson, he's another guy that could do it. There's not a whole lot of guys that could make that transformation. But Rampage Jackson is on my short list of one of these guys that I said, you know what, if he ever says, all right, I'm done with the fighting, let me go to pro wrestling, he would be one of these guys that I would be excited to see sign. I mean, preferably with WWE, but TNA, if he's used right, it could be really good. So here's the thing. Now they've got Kurt Angle. So Thursday on Impact, they have Rampage Jackson coming out, and he's, you know, he's excited. He's slapping the hands with the kids, and he looks really happy to be there. And then Kurt Angle's music hits, because Rampage says, you know, I want to fight the best. I'm here to fight the best. I think he might even have thrown a championship reference in there somewhere. I'm not particularly sure. I don't remember his exact promo, but he shows up on the scene, and he says, I want to fight the best. And then you hear Kurt Angle's music. And I'm, you know, the teenager in me is marking out, if you will, like the old days when you see something that you've never seen before. Now, that's not to say that TNA could bring him in and blow it. It's possible. It may not even be them blowing. It may not be their storytelling or their writing that blows it. It could be maybe Rampage gets in the ring and he's not that good. I don't know. But there's something to me about when you see two guys and they get face to face. And it was, I know let me put this out there. People are going to think I am freaking crazy for saying this. But when I saw Kurt Angle get face to face with Rampage Jackson, it reminded me to a certain degree of Tyson and Austin. Not completely. I'm not trying to say it's on equal footing and this is as impactful, no pun intended, as that was. But what I will say is I got that a certain bit of that feeling that this was very much like that. And you could just see the tone, the demeanor of Rampage Jackson's face changing as Kurt Angle's right in his face. And Kurt Angle looks dead serious. Rampage Jackson, he's snorting a little bit. He looks really serious. He's ready to go. And I said, oh my God, if these guys square off, this could be huge. Now, granted, they did not square off. They opted not to touch one another until they went for like a handshake deal. And then Rampage pulled them in. But these guys could make so much money for the company, but it's all in how they do it. Now, if I remember, I want to say, what was it, like 06 or 07, Kurt Angle was in some sort of an MMA-style match with, who was it? I think it was Joe. And then I think they had Frank Trigg as the referee, I think. Am I remembering that right? Or was Frank Trigg in the ring as the wrestler? I don't really remember because so many things have happened in WWE and TNA that I just don't ever remember a lot of the stuff from like 6-7 years ago. Like, you know, I could sit here all day and tell you everything that happened in WWE from like 1987 to maybe 96, 97. And then after that, once they started doing the monthly pay-per-views, nothing really stuck with me anymore. Like a whole lot of the Attitude Era is still blurred to me. But so anyway, to bring it back full circle, I don't remember what that was, but that match, whatever that match was Kurt was in, looked pretty realistic. I think they even had like the gloves on and the MMA shorts and stuff like that. Now, if they choose to go that route, if they, you know, and my buddy on Twitter, Jay, from Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, he's one of these guys that does a blog talk show, but he's an intelligent guy. He's got a lot of good thoughts on wrestling. And I think he's on Twitter, or I think his Twitter name is @PWPowerhouse. Check him out. But he said this, and I want to give him full credit in case he's listening, and he does. I don't want him to think that I jacked his idea, but if they made this fight not necessarily a shoot fight, but if they made it to where it looked like a shoot fight, like if you were looking at it, you couldn't tell that it was a work. If they made it look realistic, if Kurt said, look, Rampage, give me a few real punches, you know, let's do some takedowns, but throw me some real punches. Let's try to make this legit. And then Kurt Angle and or Rampage both get busted up really bad. People will buy into this stuff. And I don't buy this argument. I've made this argument before, and I don't buy the argument I get back, because there's a lot of people that say there's no connection whatsoever between pro wrestling and MMA. And I think that that's wrong. I think that there is a certain connection. You cannot compare them directly, but I think that there is some lining in the middle there of where they connect in certain ways. So, you know, you talk about what could wrestling borrow from MMA? What could MMA borrow from wrestling? So MMA could borrow a lot of the promo stuff from wrestling to hype a fight. Wrestling can borrow from MMA a lot of these holds, and I'm surprised that we don't see it more often. You know what I mean? I'm surprised that we don't see it a whole lot more often. So the thing with Rampage and Kurt Angle is, if they do this right, if they make it look as real as possible without, you know, hurting themselves really bad. Because, you know, let's not forget, we don't want to hurt up Rampage because, you know, he's got fights in Bellator. They got to protect that. I get that. And also, you don't want to bust up Kurt Angle because he's a guy that's got a lot of road miles on him. He's been traveling for the last, as long as I can tell, the last 15 to 18 years, nonstop with WWE, then with TNA. You know, he's beat up too. I heard him on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast talking about how beat up he is. You know what I mean? So if they can do this and be careful about it, I think that we've got the, you know, we could see something very good here. Something very intriguing if they hype it the right way and then they get in the ring and do it the right way. Now, I'm not opposed to them having some sort of a pull-apart brawl. Maybe better than what they did with Cena and Lesnar. Because, and Cena-Lesnar was a very good match as well. Now, I think they could use that match as a template as well. If they say, look, we don't want to really go for a shoot-fight look, I think they could borrow a lot from the Lesnar-Cena match. Lesnar and Triple H, they were good matches, but the Cena-Lesnar match I thought was unlike anything else I'd ever seen. I thought it was just an amazing matchup, and I thought what they did was just great. So they can borrow a lot from that, but I'm very excited to see where they go from here. And of course, you know, I've said this for years on this show. It's all in the follow-up. I can come on here right now and say, man, I'm so hyped for this, or I'm so hyped for that. But it's all in the follow-up. It's all what they do next. And now that the shoot here is connected with TNA, we're going to look and see what we can do with getting Rampage and or Kurt Angle on this show and ask them what they think about this, because I'm just intrigued. I got really excited when I saw it, and I could not believe my eyes that Rampage was finally in a wrestling ring. So now all I can say is, let's get guys like Chael Sonnen in there, maybe in WWE or something like that. I think that these guys, you know, it can be great. There's not a whole lot of wrestlers that can go to MMA, but there are MMA stars that can come to WWE and with the right promos and stuff like that, and then, you know, in ring, they can do some great stuff. So that's it, man. And the motto of the day is, as we usually play when we end the show, we have a song. There's a song called Simple by a band, Recover. We like to close the show with it. The motto of the day is, it's all simple, you know? Just keep it very simple. It doesn't have to be, you know, long drawn out and a lot of confusion. It can just be a simple old school pro wrestling. It's all they have to do, and they can mix in the MMA with it as well. I think it could be terrific. So with that being said, folks, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Again, I want to thank RadioFooBar.com for welcoming us to their lineup. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Bob Holly at the Bob Holly on Twitter. Go follow him right now. I want to thank everybody for listening. Spread the word, please. I need your help, folks. I can only do so much. I need to ask the listeners to help me as well. If you like this show, if you like the Bob Holly stuff, put it out there. And I appreciate the tweets I've already gotten. We'll see you next week.